Son and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Today is the 29th day of the blessed month of Hathor. May God end it in goodness and renew it for us in peace and tranquility, while our sins and iniquities are forgiven through the tender mercy of our Lord, O my Father, and my brethren. Amen. Of course, because of today is the 29th day of the blessed month of Hathor, as every 29th day of the Coptic month, we celebrate three events or commemoration of the Annunciation, Nativity, and the Resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we pray today in a joyful tune. This day also marks the martyrdom of St. Peter, the 17th Pope of Alexandria, and the zeal of the martyr. His father was the archpriest of Alexandria, and his name was Theodosius, and his mother's name was Sophia. They were God-fearing people, and they had no children. On the fifth day of the Coptic month of Abib, the feast of St. Peter and St. Paul, his mother went to the church, where she saw other mothers carrying their children. She was exceedingly sorrowful, and she wept. She besought our Lord Jesus Christ with many tears to grant her a son. That night, Peter and Paul appeared to her and told her that the Lord had accepted her prayers and that he would give her a son and to call him Peter. They commanded her to go to the patriarch to bless her. When she woke up, she told her husband about what she saw, and he was exceedingly glad. Then she went to the father, the patriarch, and told him about what she saw and asked him to pray for her. He prayed and blessed her. Shortly after, she gave birth to this saint and called him Peter. When he was 7 years old, they gave him to Pope Theonas, as was done with Samuel the prophet, and he became as a son to him. He placed him in the theological school where he received his education and excelled in preaching and counseling. He then ordained him as a reader, then as a deacon, and shortly after as a priest. He relieved the Pope of many church administrative duties. Before Pope Theonas' departure, he commanded that Abba Peter be his successor. When he was enthroned on the See of St. Mark, the church was enlightened by his teachings. It came to pass in the city of Antioch that a man of high authority had agreed with Diocletian, the emperor, to return the paganism. That man had two children, and because of him, their mother could not baptize them there. Therefore, she took them to Alexandria. On her way there, the sea was troubled by a violent storm, and she was afraid that her two sons would drown and die without being baptized. She therefore dipped them in the sea three times, saying, "In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit." Then she cut her breast and with her blood made the sign of the Holy Cross over their forehead. Eventually, the troubled sea calmed down and she arrived safely to Alexandria with her sons. On the same day, she brought them to be baptized. Whenever the patriarch St. Peter tried to baptize them, the water would solidify as stone. This happened three times. When he questioned her, she informed him of what had happened to her at the sea. He marveled and praised God, saying, "That is what the church proclaims, that is one baptism. Therefore, the baptism she performed in the sea was accepted by the Lord." Also, in the days of this Pope, Arius, the heretic, appeared, and Saint Peter advised him several times to turn from his wicked thoughts, but he would not hearken to him. Consequently, excommunicated him and prevented him from the fellowship of the church. Arius contacted Emperor Maximianus the infidel and reported to him that Peter the Patriarch of Alexandria incited the people not to worship the gods. The emperor was outraged, and he sent messengers with orders to cut off his head. When they arrived in Alexandria, they attacked the people and destroyed most of the citizens of Egypt. They robbed all their valuable, their women and children, in total about 840,000 of them were killed, some with a sword, some with starvation, and some with imprisonment. Then they returned to Alexandria and captured the father, the patriarch, and imprisoned him. When the people heard about their shepherd's arrest, they gathered in front of the prison door and wanted to save him by force. The officer in charge of his slaying was worried that the general peace would be disrupted, so he postponed the execution till the next day. When the saint saw what had happened, he wanted to deliver himself to death for his people, for he feared what might happen to his flock. He wished to depart and be with Christ without causing any disturbance or troubles. He sent for his people, and he comforted them and advised them to adhere to the true faith. When Arius the infidel learned that St. Peter was departing to be with the Lord, leaving him under the ban of excommunication, he entreated him through the high priest to absolve him. St. Peter refused and told them that the Lord Christ had appeared to him this night in a vision wearing a torn robe. St. Peter asked him, "My Lord, who rent your robe?" The Lord replied, "Arius has rent my robe because he separated me from my father. Be aware of accepting him." After this, St. Peter summoned the emperor's messenger in secret and advised him to dig a hole in the prison's wall on the sides where there were no Christians. The officer was amazed at the bravery of the father, and he did as he commanded him. He took him out of prison secretly and brought him outside the city to where the tomb of Saint Mark the Evangelist, Egypt's evangelist. There he kneeled down and asked the Lord, "Let the shedding of my blood mark the end of the worship of idols and be the end of the shedding of the blood of Christians." A voice came from heaven and was heard by a saintly virgin who was near that place. It said, "Amen. May it be to you according, amen, may it be to you according to your wishes." When he finished his prayer, the sword man advanced and cut off his holy head. The body remained in its place until the people went out hurriedly from the city to the place where he was martyred, because they did not know what had happened. They took the pure body and dressed it in the pontifical clothes and seated him on the seat of St. Mark, which he refused to sit on during his life. He used to say that he saw the power of God sitting on the chair, and therefore he did not dare to sit on it. Then they placed his body with the bodies of the saints. He occupied the throne of St. Mark for 11 days. His prayers be with us. Amen. This day also marks the martyrdom of St. Clement, Pope of Rome. This saint was born in Rome to an honorable father whose name was Faustinus, who was a member of the Senate. His father educated him and taught him Greek literature. When St. Peter the Apostle came to Rome and Clement heard about his teaching, he called him to appear before him, and they discussed many things together. The Apostle explained to him the falsehood of idol worship and proved to him the divinity of the Lord Christ, in whose name they preached and performed miracles. He believed that his hands was baptized by him and followed him since that day. Saint Clement wrote the biography of the apostles and what happened to them at the hands of the kings and rulers. He preached in numerous cities and many believed at his hands. He was the one to whom the apostle gave their canon books. He became the Archbishop of Rome in the later part of the first century. He preached there and brought many of its people to the knowledge of Lord Christ. Emperor Trajan heard of him and ordered him to be seized and brought to him. The emperor commanded him to worship the idols and to deny the Lord Christ, but Saint Clement refused. Because the emperor feared torturing him before the people of the city and before his family, he exiled him to the city, to a city, and wrote a message to its governor, telling him to torture Saint Clement, then to kill him. The governor tied his neck to an anchor and cast him into the sea. In this way, the saint delivered up his pure spirit and received the crown of martyrdom in the year 100 AD. 1 year after his departure, the sea water reached off his body, which appeared in the bottom of the sea as though he was alive. Many went in and were blessed, and they decided to take the body away from its place. They brought a marble coffin and laid him in it, and when they wanted to take his body out of the sea, they were unable to move it. They knew that he did not wish to be moved from his place, so they left him and they departed. On the day of his feast, each year, the sea would flow back and the visitors would enter and be blessed by him. Many frequently travel to see this wonder. Among the many miracles written about him, 1 year the visitors went in to visit and to be blessed by him, and when they left, they forgot a little child who was behind the coffin of the saint. This was according to the Lord Christ's will, in order to reveal the honor of his beloved ones and the grace they had received from him. When the child's parents remembered their son, they went back to the sea, but they found the water was back and that it had covered the casket. They realized that their son must be dead and devoured by the beast of the sea. They wept over him and commemorated him as was the custom. The next year, when the sea water receded, the people entered as was their custom and were amazed to find the child alive. They asked him how he existed and what he had eaten. He replied, The saint fed me, gave me drink, and protected me from the beast of the sea. They praise the Lord Christ, who is glorified in all his saints. His prayer be with us, and the glory be to God forever. Amen.